In our gospel reading today, can you feel the drama? Jesus has come home. He goes to his home worshiping community, as he must have done countless times as a young person. He's handed a scroll. He opens the scroll to just the right place. He reads. He hands it back to the attendant. He sits down. Everyone stares at him, waiting for what is to come next. There's intensity here, even beyond the words from Isaiah. Jesus is on a mission, but the people of his hometown are also expecting something. Who knows what they were expecting? Jesus hasn't done a whole lot as yet. We're still only in the fourth chapter of Luke. He's been baptized, he's gone into the wilderness, and he's just begun his ministry. We're told in the paragraph just prior to this story that report about him spread through all the surrounding country, but we aren't told what that report consisted of. My guess is that the people were expecting something, but they had no idea what that something was. In this sense, is the congregation in Nazareth all that different from our own congregations today? Don't we all go to church expecting something? But do any of us really take the time to articulate what that something is? Some, I suppose, hope to hear a good sermon. Not too long, not too short. Some expect to sing a familiar hymn. Some expect to be welcomed. And yet others hope to enjoy the fellowship with people they know. But how many of us go to church really expecting the Spirit of God to actually show up? Do we expect news so good that it might shatter the despair of the poor? Do we expect release, recovery, and the ending of oppression? And do we really want all that to begin with? And would we rather just receive a little comfort, a little encouragement, and nothing that will rock the boat? In any case, the people of Nazareth weren't ready for the anointing presence of the Holy Spirit to come with this young man, this young Jesus, they knew so well when they got up that morning for synagogue. After Jesus makes his startling declaration that the prophecy of Isaiah has come to fulfillment in their presence, they got angry and sent him packing. It does make you wonder about the phenomenon of expectation and what it means in the life of faith. Do we go to church looking to fulfill our own expectations? Or do we come ready and open to see God's expectations manifest themselves before our very eyes? What angered the people of Nazareth, as we will see in later verses, was the apparent compliment that Jesus paid to the Gentiles. The Jews were so sure that they were God's people that they utterly despised all others. They believed that God created the Gentiles to be the fuel for the fires of hell. And here was Jesus preaching as if the Gentiles were specially favored by God. It was beginning to dawn on them that there were things in this new message, the like of which they had never dreamed. So let's dig a little deeper to see what Jesus was trying to tell them, and for that matter, what he's trying to tell us now. Those words from Isaiah and Jesus' comment on them are the first recorded words of Jesus' public ministry. The words Jesus read from Isaiah are not an exact quotation of Isaiah. Jesus has intentionally and purposefully chosen and arranged particular portions of Isaiah's text to create a specific message. This message is often described as his inaugural address. Jesus is outlining his politics. He is describing the character of his ministry. He is establishing his priorities and the direction of his work. He is casting his vision for the reordering of relationships, good news to the poor, release to the captive, sight to the blind, letting the oppressed go free, declaring God's favor. From here on out, everything Jesus does will be grounded in a message of good news. This is revealed when he heals the sick, when he casts out demons, when he forgives sins, when he feeds the hungry, and when he raises the dead. His message stands at the center of and is the content of his crucifixion and resurrection. At the heart of Jesus' message is an unspoken and yet ever-present question. Where does it hurt? That's the question that drives and directs Jesus' life and ministry. As Jesus will later say, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Where does it hurt? Look at the world today, read the news, reflect on your life, and it's not hard to see how much we really need to hear what Jesus was trying to tell us. Jesus' agenda is not determined or influenced by who is good or bad or insider or outsider. It doesn't seem to matter to Jesus who we are, what we have done or left undone, or what our life is like. It's pretty simple. Are you poor? Good news to you. Are you a captive? Release to you. Are you blind? Sight to you. Are you oppressed? Go in freedom. Divine favor is not given to the poor, the captive, the blind, or the oppressed because they are good or righteous, but because God is good and righteous. So can we all ask ourselves, how does the politics of Jesus compare with our own? What if we adopted Jesus' message as our own? What if we began our thinking and our conversation by asking, where does it hurt? And what if we let that question establish our priorities and guide our decisions? Where does it hurt? Would we then have the courage and will to stand with another in his or her pain and the vulnerability to risk letting another stand with us in our pain? Perhaps then we would open rather than close places, people, and ourselves to the divine favor. And then maybe we would know the fulfillment of this scripture here today and right now. Amen.